This Shiur is brought to you by the Lev Aron Foundation. For more, visit levaronlibrary.com.
Parashas Tazria, Perik Yudbeis, Pasik Vav. Teirak Deisha writes, by a woman who has a child that she has to bring a carbon. What is her carbon? Says the Pasik. She has to bring a sheep, a keves, ben shnasi, 1 year la'ayla, or ben yaina, oy toir l'chatas. A yaina is a dove, a toir, I guess this translates as a turtle tail, what do they translate toir?
Turtle.
Huh?
Turtle dove.
Turtle dove, right? So a regular dove and a turtle dove, which is basically the same family, like the yaina and the tair is in somewhere in the same branch of bird. L'chatos el pesach oil moyet. So l'chayr, it's a very unassuming pasuk. It's just telling you what the carbon is. The Balaturim asks an interesting question. He says it's interesting the order that the Torah brings the dove and the toir. Why? Because usually it says toir before the b'nei yayna. Right? Shtei toirim, shtei b'nei yayna. Two turtle doves and two yaynas. What do they call yayna? A dove also? It's also called a dove. There's a dove and a turtle dove. Okay. So the question is, why over here does it say first the word yayna and toir after the word yayna? Interesting observation. You would say the pasuk is so unassuming. Right? So before we get into the answer of the Balaturim, I'm trying to stress this point that you see from the most unassuming pasuk, seems like he's just telling you halacha, what you're supposed to bring, this keves. We're going to learn tremendous lessons in hashkafa and musar. The words of the Balaturim, the answer that he gives. Unbelievable. You see from the smallest nuance in the Torah, a pasuk which doesn't seem to say much, but the way the pasuk brings the order, it changes. We learn tremendous things from it. We're going to learn a tremendous lesson from the fact that it says the word Toir before the word Yayna. The word Yayna before the word Tar. Says the Balatur, B'chalmakai magdir turim libnei yayna. Always Torah comes before. Chutz mikan, except for here. Here, it first brings the yayna and the Torah after. Why? It says the Balatur, because here it's different, you're only bringing one. L'fisha me'ena mevi al echad. Normally when it says to bring the yayna and then the turim, the way it says it is, the turim shnayim, yayna shnayim. Mashenkin over here that you're bringing one, the yayna comes first. Why? Why does the yayna come first? Because v'im yimtzi yayna leisikach tar. Because if you can find the yayna, better take the yayna.
Yayna is the elevation.
No, yayna is the dove. It's a different bird. The yayna is the dove, and the tar is the turtle dove. Better take the yayna. If you're bringing one, if you're bringing two, so it doesn't make a difference, the order. But if you're bringing one, it makes a difference. Bring the yayna first. Why? It says the Balaturim Chidush, which comes from a psikta, Lafisha ben zugai misabul alav. When you take the zug, when you take the husband or the wife away from the tur, from the turtle dove, it never goes to another bird. It stays, that's it. It never remarries. And because of this, if you're taking one, so what, normally when you grab two, so that you take a husband and a wife, a group. But if you're taking one, you're destroying the tire because it's never going to find another mate. But the yain is no problem, therefore you can go and what? And take one yain. Yes, unbelievable chidush nifla. That the turtle dove, because it never remarries after you take its mate, don't take one. The yayin will find a way how to reestablish, you know, repair its problem, its life, so to speak. Mela, when you're taking one, take the yayin first and then the turtle dove if you can't find the yayin. Now, l'chura, when I see this balaturim, I read it simply as tsar balachayim. Right? That's when you read the balaturim. The poor turtle dove, the poor, you know, Nebach, you know, Rachmanut. On the turtle dove, it's not going to ever remarry. It's going to be an almana for the rest of his life. Tell me, I don't know, nowhere in the Torah do we find that we have to worry about Tzar Balachayim when we bring karbonis. I never saw that anywhere. So you know what? Don't be mak of any carbon. It's always Tzar Balachayim. And if you take Eim al Abanim, a mother and a child, there is no pain, there is no hagamder, and there's many Rishonim that learn that Shiluach HaKen is about Tzar Balachayim. Right? Many Rishonim learn that, but that could be also when you have the mother and the baby, you're taking the baby. But it's interesting that here that she's not going to find the Shiduch, you know, she's going to be Misabel. I never knew birds are Mitabel. You knew that birds are of the what do you call that? The maturity of mind to be mitabel. It's an interesting chazal here. You know, I remember reading once that the elephant, different than its name that it's given, you know, everybody thinks an elephant is Dumbo the elephant, a dumb animal. They claim that the elephant is a very wise animal, as a matter of fact. Scientists claim that it's very wise because it's mitabel al zugai. It's very interesting. In other words, when it loses a spouse, its second, or it loses a child, or you ever read this? The elephant stays over the body crying, and it's like it won't leave.
I've seen some National Geographic.
Yeah, they talk. Yeah. The scientists are very big into that. Yeah. That there's an Indian called mitabel al zugai by an elephant. Masha'en kain, let's say like a zebra and all other horse animals. It's nothing, irrelevant. They just move on. Their kids, the lions and tigers eat up their kids and then they just move on like nothing happened. So maybe Chazal teaching us a chiddush that the Torah is like that nature. And then a chanami, he is mitabel. What am I trying to get at? I'm trying to understand, do we take this balaturim literally? That's my question. Is it about Tzar Balachayim, the pain of the animal? So maybe we have to say that that's what the Balaturim is teaching us, that it is mit abel. You see the Lashon? Mit abel alav. It's suffering. It's mourning. Why make an animal mourn? I never knew animals are capable. They're in this mind frame of mourning. And the answer is maybe Chazal, according to this Balaturim, are teaching us that the Torah is such a wise animal that it has the capability to mourn the loss of its spouse.
Well, if there's a halakha with the egg and you've got to take some other way.
Right. So that I'm trying to say is this is natural instinct. A mother and a child is a natural instinct. And even there, many Rishonim question it. Is it really about the mother and the child or is it about us? Is it about our response to seeing a mother being taken away, a child being taken away from the mother? Which means it's not per se the Tzar Balachayim. It's a question in the Rishonim. The Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim, it's a big issue. I'm just bringing out that I'm trying to apply logic to this Balaturim. What is this Balaturim teaching us? Is he teaching us literally that there is pain? And if there's pain, then it's Tzar Balachayim. Is that what he's saying? Then we have to say a chiddush that mitzvahs HaTorah are about Tzar Balachayim. And then we have to come and say that the animal, the Torah, is like such a type of animal that is wise, that is able to sense pain and always suffer, mitabel tamid, forever, you know, the lashon, mitabel alav, he'll never remarry, what it stays bavelus all its life. It's a very big chiddush. When an animal feels pain long term, it's strange, you know. Even the picture that the elephant that they give us, the scientists give us, it's not always, it's mitabel forever. I never heard that an animal should be mitabel forever over a spouse. Chiddush, interesting point of contention. What does it mean that it's mitabel? Mitabel alav. Ve'enu mizdabig la'achar. What does it mean? What does it mean? Do we mean pain? And then we have to say chiddush, that it's wise enough, it's capable of having pain, and not stam pain, long-term pain, forever. It's a chiddush, a big chiddush. And then it becomes an issue of Tzar Balachayim, which itself is a question. Mitzvah Satar about Tzar Balachayim, it's a big issue in the Rishayim. I would like to introduce another method, another pshat in how to understand this Balatorah. That maybe it's not about its physical pain. And maybe it's not about the Torah being a supernatural animal that it has, you know, emotions and feelings. It's not what it's about. What is it about? So I want to introduce to you an interesting Ramban. The Ramban speaks about the nature of the Yain and the Torah in Parshas Vayikra, Perik Aleph, Pasuk Yedalet. When you bring a carbon from the birds, which birds do you bring? There's two types of birds that you bring. Min ha-tayrim, min b'nei ha-yayna. Why? So many things. You walk into the zoo, Rabbi Isai, you'll find hundreds and hundreds of species of birds. And plenty of them can be kosher also. So why only the tayrim and the b'nei yayna? Why only the turtle dove and the dove? So this question the Ramban asks, and the Ramban says pshat as follows. The Torah chose bedafka, these two types of birds. Only these two types. The Torah chose. Why? They're the most common bird. Easy to catch. Ukrayvenly toughes. Yeah. This is also, says the Ramban, found in a conceptual Chazal. Chazal say that the sex of him and the se'izim, why do we bring se'? Sheyakrim and agdoilim alavusai. You could take what you have on your farm. You don't have to capture it. Torah doesn't expect you to be a hunter, to hunt prey, to hunt animals, what do they call it? Fodder, not fodder, I have expression. Bird, kill, what do they call it? Bird kill, they call it, right? To hunt bird kill, yeah? You have a set in your backyard, you brought it. You have the set, the Torah says the Ramban. Ramban is using this Chazal to explain why he believes that only the turtle dove and the yonah. Why? It's common. You can just go and take it. There's no searching. There's no hunting for it. Common animals. That's the first pshat the Ramban says. Then the Ramban says, Avol, Rotza Beturim Agdoil. This would explain only why we want the Tyre Hakatan, the small turtle dove. Why is it the Toir HaGadol? Why do we bring Toirim, which are bigger? It's not the babies. We bring the big ones. And the answer is because they're very, very special animals, says the Ramban. You ready? Why do you think the Ramban says they're special? Because there's Balaturim, you hear? Bavur Prishusan. Because they're very, very exalted animals. V'hidavkam biyadua mehem. Shikivon she'ovad, because once it loses its spouse, lo yedavik ba'achel la'olam, it will never go to somebody else, which is this balatur, right? So far so good, right? So far so good.
It's fakir, huh?
Wait a minute. Why is it fakir for the tour?
We want from who's the seder.
The Torah. When the Torah doesn't go, the same thing. The Torah doesn't go to its other min. Therefore, the Torah, You don't take. Over here, you don't take it.
He's saying the yain.
No, he says the tar. Avoratza b'tayr magdailim. Bavur prishusim yidavkim b'yadua mehem. Yeah? This is what's special about them. Okay? Oh. So, but the Ramban doesn't end with that. It's a special animal. Ramban says, but this is actually special because there's an analogy from the Tayr to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael also has this midah of the Tayr.
Is that the same dove that they let out in Noach?
That's right. But we're going to talk about that, you see, because you have to understand there's two. There's the Tayr and there's the Bnei Yayna. We're going to learn that the Bnei Yayna is not like that. The Yayna is not this kind. The Yayna is a fighting bird. It's a very feisty bird. The Ramban is going to say in the next line, which we're going to speak about, because Be'emes we find Chazal say Yoynasi b'chag v'asel, that Klal Yisrael is like the Yoyna, like the dove. And as a matter of fact, there's many places that Chazal say because they have the Maila that they stick to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're soon going to learn that there's a contradiction here in the Rishayim, but that's in a few moments, and also not, it's a side issue. The main thing is to see what's the point over here. And the point is, says the Ramban, not only that they have this exalted trait, which I would have expected the Ramban to stop and say, okay, that's it, they have this exalted trait, that's what's why Hashem likes them. No. L'chein Yisrael, because it's actually an analogy to Klal Yisrael, Dvukim b'Hashem Eloyeihem v'loyidavku be'el achar l'aylam. They will never take another spouse. They'll never take another spouse. Yeah. We're soon going to get to the Yonah, which is not that way, but I want to point out two things now. First of all, I want to point out this concept of not taking another spouse with Klal Yisrael is interesting, because actually Hashem does that with us as well. We don't what? We don't further ourselves from Hashem, and Hashem doesn't further himself from us. I once told you over that my grandfather said that the Rabbeinu Gershon was called Ma'or HaGoyl, the light of the exile. Why was he called the light of the exile? So my grandfather said pshat like this. Rabbeinu Gershon enacted two takanot. One was that you can't be Megarish Bal Karcha. You can't force a divorce, even though technically in the Torah, if you want to divorce your wife, you just get rid of her and that's it. Forcefully, whether she likes it or not, too bad. Rabbeinu Gershon said, no, we don't do that anymore. And the second takon he made was that you can't have two wives. You can't have two wives. You have one wife, that's it. That's your wife. Now, Chazal teach us that Hashem married Klal Yisrael by Matan Torah. That Klal Yisrael was the Kala, she was like a bride, and Hashem was the Chatan. Oh, don't forget that the Kala didn't behave over the years. She didn't cook good meals. She didn't keep the house too clean, in a spiritual sense, right? The Chatan wants to get rid of her! But Rabbeinu Gershon stopped that. You know why? Because you can't force a divorce. So we stuck to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether Hashem likes it or not, because he can't force a divorce on us. But maybe he could go take another nation with us. No, he can't have two. Hashem made Rabbeinu Gershon made an enactment and made a takana that if you have your wife, that's it. You're stuck. You live with it. That's it. So he was the Me'er HaGoyla. He was the light of the exile because he kept us survival throughout the Gullus. If not for Rabbeinu Gershon's takanot, which Hashem has to listen, it's Torah now. Rabbeinu Gershon makes the takana, then it's Torah. Well, Hashem accepts the takanot of the Bezdin, of the tzaddikim, of the Goyim. Hashem was stuck with Klal Yisrael. What are you going to do? You can't force us out of the house, and you can't take another one. This Rabbi Sai is Klal Yisrael Hashem. We're stuck together. And then in case something goes wrong, we're not going to find another one. This is it. Hashem, you're our Hashem. You're our spouse. And Hashem has to say, Klal Yisrael is our spouse. So this is the Torah. The Torah has this tremendous attribute. And this brings out, resembles Klal Yisrael. So now I have a Mayur Dikab Shad now. It's not so much that the Torah is a special animal, but that the Torah has in it something which is special about Klal Yisrael. Not the pshat that the animal, it has feelings, has pain. It's not about pain and feelings. It has this attribute, which Klal Yisrael has as well. And Hashem is trying to stress that attribute. Hashem is trying to exalt and bring out the chashivut of such an attribute. That no matter what happens, Klal Yisrael stays devoted. If you think about it, we were thrown out of our land. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Move on. Move on. What are you going to do? Move on. How many nations in the world stick to a dream of things that happened 2,000-3,000 years ago? Oh, Matan Torah, and then Hashem, and then we'll go back to Yerushalayim, we'll be Makriv Karbanis. And the answer is, Klal Yisrael doesn't forget the past and move on. They don't do that. That's Mitabel, Klal Yisrael's Mitabel now for the past. Hashiveinu Avinu L'Seira Secha, Hashiveinu Hashem V'Rashuva, bring us back, take us back. We're ready to come back. Thousands of years we're waiting. Thousands of years we're waiting. Who waits so long? You know, a woman who her husband doesn't come back from war. You get married within a month, 2 months, finished, have a nice day. What are we? We're like Aguna. We're stuck. We're stuck. We don't look further. We don't look elsewhere. We try to find our original spouse. Yeah. This is what Hashem is glorifying, exalting, by saying, you know what? I want you to bring a Ben Yonah. I'm sorry, a turtle dove. What about the Ben Yonah? So it says like this, Aval hayoinim kanoyim oy. The yoina is a very feisty bird. Ubikinasa, and in its feistiness, and its zeal and anger, yispardu, they do separate from their spouses. Viachlifu, and they change. Alkein, bochar bohem. Therefore, Hashem only chose by them the ketanim, the babies. Kaidim she is davgu before they get married. Ki hayoina bekatnusa, because a yoina in its prime when it's a baby. Oz teisefes ahava beken giduleho yois mishar ha'oivos. That's when it brings out love. You know when a yoina is good when it's a baby yoina. A baby yoina is sweet, right? But once it gets into the meshidach age. Oh, that's some feisty bird. Yeah. It reminds me of a lot of the Japs, the Jewish women. Yeah. The young girls, they come to synagogue, they're sweet, sweet, nice. The minute they get into the marriage, there's a boy, bikanosam, zeal and anger and feistiness. The kids are, so he brings v'skirab, v'seinu, kichol oifis, v'yogad, v'ken shalahem. Any other bird, if you touch it, they'll leave it. You hit a bird, it flies away, and that's all. It's not going to stay over its nest. You give it a tap, it runs. But the yoina, oh no. A yoina will not leave its nest. It has a tremendous devotion for the nest. And this also resembles Klal Yisrael. They also will not. So the older tar, the older turtle dove, has this good trait of being loyal. And the young yona has this trait, but not the old yona. Because the old yona, what happens? The minute it becomes married, it becomes a real feisty bird. And it'll disappear and ruin the marriage and move on. Yeah, it's very interesting. You listen? The young yona, that's beautiful because she never leaves the nest. She stands with love and devotion to protect the nest. And Klal Yisrael is the same way. And he brings a medrash. The medrash says, Ela o Yehudi, oy tzalav. A Jew says, either I'm a Jew, or I'm a tzalav. There's no playing games. There's no, you know, either you're a devout Jew, or you're lost. That's what a Jew, is ready to stand up and say, I'm not going to do this. If you're going to kill me, kill me. As a matter of fact, the medrash that he brings, this is actually a quote of a medrash, this is what the medrash says, Gimel Chatzufim Heim. There are three very brazen things in the world. Chatzuf Bechaya, the most brazen animal is which animal? Kelev. It's a very brazen animal, a dog. Barks and Chatzuf. Off. What about by the bird? It says the Medrash in Shmais Rabu. Tarnagel. It's the chicken. Chicken just plucks and picks and plucks and they're brazen. They're brazen. What about in the world, the people? Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the most brazen. I'm Reb Yitzchak, and this is the Medrash that the Ramban is quoting. Reb Yitzchak said, Savra Shul Ignai, you think it's a bad thing that they have chutzpah. No, it's a good thing. The Ein El L'Shvachan, it's a good thing. Why? O Yehudi, O Tzaluf. Because a Jew has to stand strong, steadfast. I'm a Jew and I won't do it. O Yehudi, O Tzaluf is a Christian, meaning a person who does the cross. The cross.
No, huh? That's how you kill people.
Yeah, I'm saying, O Tzaluf, which means I'm ready to die. O Tzaluf, you hear? So the pshat is, you're saying Tzaluf doesn't mean right. Tzaluf means I'm ready to die. Yehudi, O Tzaluf. Either I'm a Jew or I die. What's the pshat? The pshat is brazen, has its mila. Devotion, loyal. Now I want to tell you, many years I said this. You know, I hear a lot of times people complain that the Israelis, they're so brazen. They're so... And I tell them, listen, here in America, we never went through wars. We didn't have all the problems, yeah, a little bit when we came, but not major, you know, that you had to stand strong against the winds of the world. Israel, yeah, tremendous nisyonot. So Hashem gives it to them, the brazenness to be able to survive it. Eino elo l'shvachan, v'lo le'vimutam. I'm quoting this medrash. It's a mila sometimes to be brazen. Don't look at it, chutzpanim, so what? If you take a look, it says, Am k'shei oref. Hashem made Klal Yisrael, Am k'shei oref. So why would Hashem take us then? Hashem talks all the time how great we are. And then Hashem announces clearly in the Torah, we're an Am k'shei oref, stubborn neck. And you know what the answer is? This medrash. It's a mala to be stubborn neck. You know why? Because if you're not stubborn, you get washed away. The littlest thing, oh, you're right, that's all here. They say, oh, the France government, when the German came, yeah, no problem, sure, come in. Now that Israel has to withstand this Yonot. Big, big test that they have. And this is in the Midah of Klal Yisrael, O Yehudi, O Tzaluf. O Yehudi, O Tzaluf. If they didn't have this brazen, they would never even come to Eretz Yisrael. You know, if you think about it, the way they came with such chutzpah. Here come the few people, partisans, the British government, bombing, killing. Let's go, we're coming, we're here. Who, we're here, what are you talking? This is from the Mala. So instead of looking down, you're right. Now that you have this midah, you should work on it to channel it right. לא להיות חוצפן כנגד תלמיד החכמים, לא להיות חוצפן לאישה, לא להיות חוצפן לאבא ואמא. It's true. But that's the test that a person has. But the midah, the shorish, the core of it, is this chazal, that it's good. It's eino ele l'shvachan. And this is whose midah? The yona. The yona is strong, brazen, you hear? And this is Klal Yisrael's midah. And that's why Hashem said, take the yona. I just make a quick chazarah for you, just to tell you what we're talking about. The Isha Ki Tazvi, when she has her baby, she brings a tar o yona. The Balaturim says that you're supposed to better bring a yona, a tar, instead of a yona. I'm sorry, a yona instead of a tar. Why? Because the yona, once you take away his spouse, he'll find another one. But the tar will never find another one. So we asked, is it because it's Tzar Bala Chaim? That's what it means. So we said, no. We brought a raya that Ramban explains that this is the Mala of Klal Yisrael. Like the Torah, that it doesn't find anything else. He's stuck with Hashem and that's it. And I show for years and years and years, Klal Yisrael could be without a nation, a country, land, without a Bet HaMikdash. What? Hachzireinu, Avinu, Leah, we're still waiting for the original Hashem who we married under Matan Torah. This is the Mala. And could be that's why Hashem chose the Torah, says the Ramban, to bring out this Ma'ala. Maybe that's the Pshat already in the Bala Turim as well. And Hashem is trying to show that, appreciate, respect, exalt, show that it's a Davar Tov, what the Yonah is doing. Now I want to explain to you that there's an interesting machloket over here. The Yonah switches its spouse. That's what it says. Aval hayoina bekanatam yispardu veyachlifu. Yeah? It switches. Veyachlifu. It switches. And what? Because they break up. It's mashma even when alive, right? Meaning it doesn't stay married too long, Yonah. They fight and they move on, right? Ramban is mashma that the yispardu is bachayim when they're still alive. The Chizkuni is saying differently. The Chizkuni brings the same Ramban, and he says like this, Min ha-toirim afilu gedoilim, because the Torah is very loyal, that it doesn't go and look for a different shidduch after its spouse dies. What about the Bnei Yoina? V'loi gedoilim, l'fish ha-yoina puta, ein lo lev. The Yoina is a heartless animal. You hear the Ramban Chizkuni says it's a heartless animal. So it's a little different than the Ramban. Ramban learns that they make fights in the house and they break up. They're like the modern day, you know, the movie stars. So 20 husbands and 20 wives because they can't stay married for too long.
Love you and leave you.
Love you and leave you. Right. Masheke, the Chizkuni's learning, you hear, that it's after, which means the Torah stays loyal to the spouse after, while the Yonah doesn't stay loyal. Okay. Then the Ramban, right, no, according to the Ramban, it's divorce, and according to the Chizkuni, they find right away, you know, like the Goyim, they come to the funeral with their next spouse, you know. Okay, now. What are you laughing? And he's laughing. It's what it is, by the way. They come with their spouses to the funeral. Okay. The Rav says, which is the Ramba, a different reason why Hashem wants Dafka the Tor and the Yonah. A different reason. What is it? Ki hatam bakrov is gedoyle atoyim efreiche ayoinim ki hu atoyv shebehem. Those are the best animals. The best birds is the Tor and the Bnei Yonah. Yeah? Ki hu atoyv shebehem pnei shagodl b'yoinim ein arvus boy. The ein ze emes. He says the gadol should be yoinim. It's not sweet to eat. It doesn't taste good. It's tasteless. Yeah? That's what Ramban says. The Rambam. That the reason why Hashem wants the Torah, the big, and the Yonah, the baby, because the Yonah, the baby, that's a good tasting animal. But the Yonah, the big one, not, so you don't bring it as a carbon. Yeah? Says the Ramban, the Ein Ze Emes. It's not true. Not true. Ramban, what are you talking about? You're saying a false statement. Kiktane hayoinim kimache in ruyim lachila. As a matter of fact, the little yonah you can't eat. Who's going to eat a little pigeon? You can't eat a little bird. You can't eat it. Mipnei rutva utfanish behem. Because of something, I don't know how to translate it, but there's something that it has in it. Avl im nachush lativim achila. And if you're going to say like the Rambam taka that it has to do with the way it tastes, yitachin shenifku liskulos. Maybe it does have something. That it has good health benefits. The Torah has a good health benefit, and the Yonah has good health benefits. Ki ha-toyrim skulasim chidut ha-seichel. Makes you smart. You eat toyrim, you get smart. Ve'froiche ha-yoinim. What about if you eat eggs?
Yeah, eggs.
Huh?
Chicken.
I'm saying from the egg. The froichim, the chicks, yeah? Skulasam l'te'eles g'doyla b'mevutle ho'evurim he'varim kipelgis. Certain diseases make disintegration of the bones, like arthritis or something, and it's good for arthritis.
That's
You think I'm making chayzika? You think I'm joking? It's a Ramban. I make it up. It's a Rambam.
Turim.
Huh?
Turim.
Turim is good for brain. You want to be smart? Go eat Turim.
Who eats this cover?
Who eats it? Nobody. It doesn't make a difference. But that's what's special about it. If you want to have a special animal, this is special. You want to talk about specialty. What's special? So the Ramban says, you know what's special? Because it brings out my lot of Klal Yisrael. Hashem is showing that this is a good attribute. Then the Ramban says that if you take a look at the Rambam, he says that they taste good. The Turim tastes good. The Bnei Yonah, the baby Yonah tastes good. You go to a wedding, they give you a little duck, a little chicken. You ever see they give you a little chicken?
Yeah.
It's supposed to taste good, I guess. I look at it, it's supposed to be cheap on the money. You know, if you want to.
Yonah tastes better, I do.
You ate Yonah? Tastes good, yeah. I know a guy that had a child named Yonah, and he used to eat him up all day. Okay, now.
This format, anybody eats this?
No, I don't think it does. It's the chashivas of the thing. It's not the point, but you have to bring a good. You have to bring a korban mu'ula. You got the korban itself is to be a chashiv korban. So you have so the question is what's so special about this animal? And the answer is that special malo. Here you talk about bringing Hashem salmon. Salmon, they say, brings brain. It helps you. You become a brilliant genius if you eat salmon. That's the newest craze they have out there. You know, that's the new thing. Now, fish oil.
I didn't know it was brains.
How about the fish oil? No, that's the whole thing today. Fish oil, your brains, imamish. Unbelievable fatty acids and then omega 3 and then and the mosses and salmon. You don't know this, okay? So that's it. So it's the same thing. So you want to bring a chashim of a fish? What are you going to bring? A crab? You bring a watcher call it. You bring a salmon. Salmon's a chashim of a fish. Okay. This is the Ramban. Okay. So you like it? Interesting. So we started off by saying that when a woman has a baby. And she has to bring a carbon, a tor, oy b'nei yayna. So better bring the yayna instead of the tor. And that's why the Torah says yayna oy tor. Why, says the Baal Turim? Because this tor, when the zivug dies, it doesn't remarry, it's mitabel. So we said, kipshuta, what does it mean? Tzar balachai. That's what it means. But then we said, if you look at the Ramban, there's more than just simple, it's a good bird. It's not about good bird, it's about Klal Yisrael. Hashem is bringing out the attribute of Klal Yisrael. The issue, which I think is important to bring out, if you notice today, people get married right away. A spouse dies, and right away, months, 2-3 months later, people get married. The times, the Mahalach HaChayim, even big Rosh Hashivas, they get married very fast, one after. In Europe, it wasn't like that. In Europe, a woman, her husband died, that was it.
20 years old.
20 years, they stayed. It's an interesting the way that the Dorot are Mishtana. And I was thinking, where does it come from? Well, why all of a sudden did it change? And I would also like to question, should we learn from this Chazal that it's taka the wrong thing to do? If Chazal are trying to bring out that it's a ma'ala in the Yonah, which is also a ma'ala in the Klal Yisrael, so maybe we are to deduce from this, to learn from this, that this is the right way to behave? Which is also another question, because many people I've had discussions with about it. And they say, what's the difference? The person died, who cares? He doesn't know the difference anyway, and then so on and so forth. And I ask, I don't know, a person doesn't know the difference? What does that mean? If a person made a kinyan nafshi with somebody, there's a whole question when Mashiach comes, who are you going to be married to? So how can you come and say that they don't know the difference? The Balchanan Wasserman officially, I don't know if it's true or not, because I don't know if he said it, but it's brought down in his Sfarim that this is one of the chakirot of Mita Tabal. When a husband dies and a woman's allowed to get married, is the pshat because the old marriage is finished? It's finished. There's no more marriage. Or it's a poter. It's a tour. You're allowed to go get married to somebody else. Because he's not here. But enochanami, it's not bitul of the original ishut. What's an afkamina? Limot HaMashiach, says Rabbi Chana. When Mashiach comes, will you be married to the first guy or to the second guy? Which is an interesting I'm not trying to get into yes, no, the olamot. I'm not rich. I'm just trying to tell you that it's an interesting ha'ara that today it became so easy, lax. Yeah, of course. So right away, as soon as the guy is his wife or husband died, right away, right, people look at shidduchim for him. Who's that?
Why not?
You see from this chazal that it's not the right thing. This chazal is saying that the Yonah, the Torah is special, that it stays loyal to its first zivuk. It doesn't look for another zivuk. You see it clearly. I mean, chazal say it openly. It says it, that this is the ma'ala of the Torah, that Klal Yisrael also has this ma'ala. The only thing is you could come and say that the ma'ala that Klal Yisrael has is not b'yisod, clap each other, but it's clap HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which means it's a borrowed maila from a Tor, which we apply to Yisrael when it comes to Hashem. But it doesn't mean that they have to apply it amongst each other. It's a little bit chiddushdik, right? Because if the Tor is about it, a zivuk, and you bring out that that's a maila, yeah, this is something which is to me a dilemma. I don't know. But what I do know is, you understand what I'm trying to say? That even though Chazal bring this out as a ma'ala, but maybe it's a ma'ala, meaning because Klal Yisrael applies this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's not a ma'ala be'etzen. But you see that we do say it's something special about the bird who does this. I'll tell you the truth, I don't have a verdict on this issue, but my feeling is, like the Chazal, that it's the right thing, and for years they did it that way. All through the Dairis, they did it that way. That's the way it was done. What changed? So to me, this is more important than right or wrong. What in the understanding, the study, and the limud of Zot Torah to Adam, why did things change? And I think there's a tremendous issue. So the Indian of Nemanut, of loyalty changed. People are not loyal to one another. We lack loyalty. And therefore the concepts of loyalty don't apply today as much as they did. Pirus, but if there was an emanut klape Hashem, how does the lashon of the pasuk say over there? Go into the streets of Yerushalayim. If you're going to find one anche, no amana, right? The lashon of the pasuk. What does amana mean? Loyalty, trustworthiness. Lashon emuna. Amana to Hashem. If it's strong, then it spills over into your daily life with your family and your relatives. But if the concept of loyalty is lost, so it's lost by Hashem, and it's lost between people too. I think the times is a simon. It's a simon on the whole mahut of a person. It's not just that the derech changed. You know, I'll tell you another thing which I thought was very interesting. When my grandfather passed away, we went through his things and we found that any little thing that he ever had from, he kept. He didn't dispose of it.
Pack wrap, so to speak? He saved everything.
Papers, even rubber bands. He saved. Whatever he used, he saved it. He would put it away and he would collect it. Today we live in a society where it's the exact opposite. Get rid of it, 1, 2, 3, you come into a garbage. Shredder, next. Shredder, not only garbage, shredder, you hear? It has to do with this. It's your yachas to the chfeitzim. Easy come, easy go. Or it's meaningful. There's a meaningful relationship. You know, Yankiv Avinu went back for pachim ketanim. What, is he nuts? Was he crazy? And the answer is, he had feelings. There was a certain regish for Pachim Ketanim. And this, Bali Musa say, came from a deeper understanding of appreciation for chfeitzim that Hashem gave him. Loyalty comes from a deep-rooted havana and appreciation of what you have. If a person looks at his spouse as a thing to be mishtamish him, it's something to serve him and for his benefit and his good. So the minute it's not there, so you go look for something else. A car. You ever see a person mitabel on a car? It depends how much the car was worth to him. If the car was just a means of transportation, so you're not mitabel, unless you're crazy, right? What do? You go find another set of wheels, right? But if the car meant to you something, so the guy could sit there and cry over his car, my car, right? It depends on... So the fact that we're not mitabel, it's a sign that doesn't mean too much. We didn't have the proper haracha for it in the first place. Klal Yisrael with Hashem has a proper haracha. So we're not ready to let it go. You're not ready to let go. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching what? He's teaching the Yisod. Learn to be ma'arich the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Appreciate the relationship. You see? Appreciate. I was thinking about this late last night. Actually, mamish till the morning, because I couldn't sleep last night. Oh, Shem, my children are keeping me up like you've never seen. Woo! Givaldik. And I was thinking to myself, what does it mean? Ashreinu matoiv chalkeinu. Umanoyim goyraleinu. Umayofo yirushiseinu. So many ashreinu. Ashreinu matoiv chalkeinu. Manoyim goyraleinu. What's noyim? You know the word noyim means?
Naim.
Sweet, sweet, pleasant, pleasant. Mayofa Yerushaseinu. The person appreciates Marich, then he doesn't let it go for nothing. Oh, Yehudi Oitzaluf, there's no letting go. It just ain't worth the price. You know, when certain Nisyonot come to me to do certain things which I'm thinking maybe I shouldn't do, I always think to myself, is it worth the price of getting my spouse angry? You know who my spouse is? Hashem. I always think that way. That's what goes through my mind. Is it worth the price? Is it worth it? A person makes a chesed. If I put my feet on the couch, right? My wife is going to be angry. Is it worth getting her angry for putting the feet on the couch? You say to yourself, no. But if maybe it's something which is more, you know... Right? Something which is, you really want it, right? So you say, it's worth it, right? It's worth getting the wife angry for this thing. But if you appreciate the wife very, very much, then you make the cheshbon and say that it's not worth it. Mayafo Yerusha Seinu, appreciate, appreciate, appreciation. And this is what it means. If a person appreciates, then you know what he does? He doesn't let it go. He doesn't want to forget it. It's not, oh, I was married to him yesterday and 2 hours later I'm married to somebody else. Appreciation. Appreciation. And this is the kesher, the relationship you're supposed to have with HaKadosh Baruch. One more yisod I want to bring out. I saw Reb Simcha Zisl Brody Sam Derech of the Rishiv and Chevron. Big Talmid Chacham and thinker. He was a tremendous thinker. Beautiful Torah. His Torah is really, he was a real big Talmid Chacham. Real, you know. Lamda, very good. So he learns the Balaturim a little different. And I want to share with you what he says, because it's also Yesod, which is Kedai to learn. He doesn't want to say, he doesn't ask the way we speak. You know, I'm a little bit more Marich, because I try to bring it out, to teach it to the public. He doesn't talk about Tzad Balachayim. He touches on this Nekuda maybe that it's to bring out the importance of the Midah, and therefore we should learn from it. But then he says a Yisod, and this is his Yisod throughout Musar. You want to know what Simcha Zisl Brody's theme? He had a theme in Musar. It's very interesting. All his Musar is based on a pasuk. And he, as a matter of fact, they even put out a sefer of Hashkafa, and they named it this pasuk, because that was his theme. The Asisa Hayashav HaTayf. All his Musar based on this thing. Like everybody has their Derech, you know, Slabotk is about Gadlus HaAdam, and Navardik is about Shiflut HaAdam, and then Kelem is about Emet. Rab Brody, the Rosh Hashanah of Chevron, all his Musar and Ashkaf is based on this pasuk. Asisa Hayashav HaTayf. And it has to fit into Yashar and Tov. Everything that you do should have the balance of Yashar and Tov. That's his. Yasha means upright. Correct. And Toiv means good. Okay, I don't have time to go through the nuances of his mahalach, his shita, whatever, but it's a theme which comes up all the time. And he applies it here as well. He says, it's not so much about the animal. It's more about you. You have to behave in a way which is yasher v'tayif. For you to choose a tor, knowing that the tor is going to be metabel on its spouse, when you could take a yonah, that's not yasher v'tayif. What are you doing? If you could, that's what the Torah is saying. The Torah is telling you, weigh your actions. See the outcome of a person. It's beautiful. I mean, he doesn't say it the way I'm explaining it. Again, I'm elaborating to make it palatable. Palatable. You should be able to be to'emidze by yadayim. You know what I mean? You should taste it. But this is what he's saying. It's about you making the right choices in life. Every action. Weigh your actions. See if it's yasher and taif. If you could take a yonah, which won't suffer, and you could take a tor, you're right, it's for a karban. Yeah, but you have a choice. Then the choice becomes better take the yonah than to take. If you can't find the yonah, then take the tor. All your choices should be weighed in the mishkal, hayasher v'atayv. Is this yasher and tayv? And he brings one proof, and I'm going to bring another proof, and then I'm going to end. You know, it's interesting. They move the clock. I don't know, maybe that's the... They thought to move the clock. They didn't understand it meant to move the actual time on the clock. No, because they heard on the radio you're supposed to move the clock. So they took the clock from this side of the Bismarck and put it on that side of the Bismarck. Sure. They didn't chop. It means to move the Etzem clock.
They didn't 5 though. They went 15 after 1 hour at least.
Okay. So let me tell you over his proof. And then I'll tell you over my proof.
One more.
Okay. You ready? Here we go. What's wrong with arayot? What's wrong? So the truth is, we could talk from today till tomorrow, what's wrong with arayot? But all the pshatim lead to one thing. There's something inherently wrong with living with a she'er basar, with living with a relative. There's something wrong with it. Why exactly? That's for a different time. But everybody understands that. The Ramban teaches us that one of the arayot has nothing to do with that. One of the arayot is not about it's inherently wrong to live with this erva. You know which one it is? The isha el achoisa loisikach litzra legalis ervisa. To take a sister and then to marry another sister. To marry two sisters, to be married to two sisters at the same time. To be married to two sisters at the same time. Ramban says, you know what's wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong. Not arayot. The word is litzrar, legalei servasa. When the pasuk uses the lashon litzrar, it's very difficult to even know what the word litzrar means, but the whole Masechet Yevamot is based on it. It's a lashon of tzara, which means when one woman has a second woman in the house that she has to contend with, they become tzara zu. They become enemies. There's fighting, friction. What are you talking about? There's tension in the house. Yeah, litzra. There's tension in the house. Says the Ramban, achayot, sisters should be getting along one with the other. Sisters were meant to be close. You went and married two of them and made them the biggest of enemies. Torah says you're not allowed to do that. Litzra legalis servasa. Yeah, it's Ramban. Says Reb Simcha Zisa, what do we see from over here? It's in the same darga as the other erva. If a person marries an erva, he's chayiv karet. This is not really erva. What is wrong with this? Only because litzror, you're going to make enemies from two sisters. And still, what does the Torah call it? Arayos yichayiv karet. And he proves it, the Ramban. He says, the Ramban, if you take a look, after one dies, are you allowed to marry the sister? But what do you mean? It's an erva. The answer is it's only an erva in the same when they're together in the same house. But how can it be an erva case? It's a bad thing. You're doing a terrible, terrible act. It's not a right. And the answer is what? Yes, it is a right. It's on the same level as marrying a sister. It's the same layer of marrying a mother. Why? Because they're meant to be shalom. Then he brings very interesting, he says, when I see brothers fight, I think to myself, you're going against the grain of what the Torah wants. The Torah holds that certain people should be together. Two people should get along. And you're saying that they shouldn't get along. Which means it's not just Nebuch, two brothers are fighting. It's deeper than two brothers are fighting. What you're doing is you're undermining the spirit of Torah. Because Torah holds that two brothers, two sisters, family members should not be fighting. And you're fighting. This is all in the pasuk of Litzrar, that you can't make a tzara zulazu. Okay. Why? Says Reb Simcha Zisel, Vasisa Yashana Taif. Torah has in it the command, the goal that everything you do should be Yashana Taif. So if this is not Yashana Taif to marry two sisters, it's erva. It becomes a rais. On the same level as marrying a mother. I would like to add another proof. There's a sugi in the beginning of Yavamas which is perplexing. I spend a lot of time in the yeshivas learning it. And the sugi is called Nesra. What is Nesra? A Yavama falls to a Yavam. It has to be that at that moment that she fell, the Yavam was allowed to take her. If the Yavam had a delay that he couldn't take her because she was Asura, it was Asura, therefore, there's no Yibum. It's called Nesra. Nesra Olav Shoachas, if she was Asur one moment, which means there was a delay, he just couldn't marry her. Nesra Olav Olamas. This is the sugya of Nesra. Unbelievable. It's many, many marot and sugyot. It's dependent on this Yesod called Nesra. From the time of the Yibum. From the moment she fell to Yibum. If at any given moment he wasn't allowed to marry her. For example, she was a Karov. And then the relative died. Now she's not a Karov anymore. Again, you have to, the Gemara in Yavama spends many, many cases. It's long. I'm trying to make it simple and short to the point. It's called Nesra. Nesra Alevay Lamas. Comes along Tosis and asks the question. So if in case she's a Nida, in case the woman's Anita, so there should never be Yibum, because at that moment you weren't allowed to live with her. Yeah? She's Asura. So every woman who's a Yavama, who's Anita, should be no more Yibum. Okay. We don't find that. Answers Tosfos, no. Why? Because the whole reason for Nesra is because of Darkei Noyam. It's not nice that she should be hanging, waiting for the Yavama to take her. So for one moment, she's Asur Ilamas. But the Nida is Asur to everybody. So it's not so much that the Yavam, it's anybody. Therefore, there's no problem of Nesra. This is Tosis Chiddush. Okay. What it comes out from Tosis? An entire new concept to understand Nesra. That what? That the Yesod of Nesra is Darkei Noam. The ways of the Torah have to be ways of pleasantry, not ways of difficult. Okay. Where did Tosis get this from? Nobody knows. Nobody knows where Tosis got this from. People question this Tosis. Tosis, you have a Gemara? Who said it? And don't forget, it's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Kol yavama she'ein ani koira la b'shas nefila yavama yavei aleha." Any Yavama, which I can't read the pasuk of Yavama Yavila when she fell, Shuv Eina Kivan Shabana Shuv La Yivna, it's finished. Okay? How did Tosis know that it has to do with Darkei Noyam? And that therefore, by Nida doesn't apply. Where do you know it from? Tosis has a Gemara like that. And you know what the answer is? Tosis was so sure that the Yesod of the Halach is about Darkei Noam, that he was matir nida to be miyabim her later. Do you understand what you're being? If you're not allowed to be miyabim her, it's an iser karet. You're marrying the sister, you're marrying the wife of your brother. So how could Tais has a raya, Tais has a proof. Tais has a question, neither should be aser. And the answer is no, because it's about darkinayim. Tais, where'd you get that from? It's a svara. So you see a tremendous lesson that the svara of darki noam is so strong that we could paskin halachot isur erva according to it. Lonayim, this is not the right thing. It doesn't make sense that the Torah should make. And what are we talking about? Nesral of Shachat. For one moment, when she fell, she can't go right away and marry the brother. Okay, it's finished. Too late. And this is because it's not darki noam. It's not nice. You hear the toises? What is the lesson from over here? The lesson from over here is darkei noam. You have to look at the Torah as sweet, as beautiful. And when you look at it as beautiful, then you look and appreciate. And when you don't have it, you wait for it. You long it. When you understand that Torah is not the Rechayim al Tzavara, it's another learning, another Gemara, and a Chanami. So when it's over, Baruch Hashem, you know, it's okay, forget it. It's gone. No. We long for it because we understand that it's dark, you know. And I'll end with a beautiful pshat that I heard from Rav Gifter. Maybe you heard it from me before. If you did, good. And if not, could I hear it again? I heard it from Rav Gifter many times. And every time he said it, I wish I could have heard it one more time. One more time. Rav Gifter is a tzaddik levracha. Used to go to Camp Aguda. And I used to go to Camp Aguda. And as a little boy, I used to listen to him. And it was fascinating. Fascinating. I just want to point out, before I finish, if you look at the Rashi and Tilim, there's a pasuk over here which has to be explained. Before I end, I wanted to have to do with the shir I said. It says, Altite lechayas nefesh torecha. Don't give to the chaya, to the animals, which is the goyim, those demon wild animals, nefesh, the souls of your little doves, torecha. Chayas aniecha al tishkach lo netzach. So Rashi and the Mefarshim explain, it means like this: be careful with your children that they shouldn't get lost to the Goyim. You got to protect your children. So on the bottom, Rashi and the Radak argue, what does it mean, Nefesh Torecha? So the Radak learns, you now give to the Oyevim Shehu Ator Shelcha, Ki Nimshul Yisrael Liyoyin Avitar. Yeah, because Klal Yisrael is Nimshul Liyoyin Avitar, Lefishem Chalushe HaKoyach. They're weak. The analogy from Klal Yisrael to a Yon and a Tar is that they're weak.
Which one is weak?
They're both. They're pigeon and dove is a weak animal. It's not a strong animal. So therefore, they're called a dove. When you want to talk about a small, weak animal, what do we call it? A dove. Okay. Rashi learns a little differently. Rashi learns Torah b'nei Yoina, because Ator Hazeh is this Balaturim. The mile of the Tor is what? That it doesn't go away, and so too Klal Yisrael doesn't leave Hashem. The only problem is he speaks about the Yoina also. Lashon Torah u'b'nei Yoina. And we just learned that the b'nei Yoina doesn't have this mala. Bishlam, according to the Radak, it doesn't mean they have the mile of not leaving Hashem. Means they're just weak, which is also chiddush because it's mashma that the Ramban is saying that they're strong, they're chutzpanim, but I guess chutzpanim and weak is not a contradiction. They could be weak, but they're not chutzpan, but they're not weak. I'm sorry, they could be weak, but they're not, but they're chutzpan. Right? I'm saying it's not a stira, it's not a contradiction. The only thing is, but Rashi, it's clear that the Yonah doesn't leave like the Tor doesn't leave. Rashi says, Nefesh Torecha, Tor Shalcha, Targum Loshen Torimu B'nei Yonah. He translates Torecha. Why? Because Mishka Torah Zeh Mishemeis Hazocher Ben Zugeinim Is Dabeg La'acher. Yeah, but he says it's the word Torecha here means Tor and B'nei Yonah. It's a little bit of, unless he means. Yeah, so then he's going back on the word Tor. So why put in the word B'nei Yonah? All right. It's bottom line. Also, the question is: we say Yonati Bechagvei Asela. Klal Yisrael is more like the Yonah. So according to Ramban, it's about the Yonah that it doesn't leave its nest. Maybe. So I guess it has to be a baby Yonah. Yoinasi b'chag ve'asel is the baby yoina, not the big yoina, because the big yoina klalis. Okay, this is all neither here nor there. Let me just end off with the following yesod. following your son. Rav Gifter said on Sovereign, and when he would say it, he would cry. Pasha cry. He said it over for Rav Bloch, tells the Rav, who was killed by the Nazis. And before he would say over this pshat, he would first introduce by saying, I first want to tell you who Rav Bloch was. That's how he would say, I want to tell you a pshat, beautiful for Rav Bloch, but I want to first tell you who he was. And he would cry, Rav Gifter, when he would say it over. Who was Rav Bloch? Rav Bloch was the Rav in Telz during World War II.
Where in Poland?
In Poland. The Nazis used to come into the cities looking for the Rabbiner. They always first wanted to kill the Rav. And they came in, they looked for the Rabbiners. They told him that he's in the Beis Medrash, in the synagogue. They went to the synagogue and they saw Rav Bloch sitting and learning in front of the yeshiva, in front of the learning over there. So they walked over to him, two Nazi German soldiers, their big rifles. They used to have these big, with the heavy part, you know, the metal at the end of the rifle. And they said to him, Yidden, Juden, are you scared? So he said, no. So he says, tell me, where is your God? You pray all day to God. Is God going to help you over here? Is God going to protect you? Where's your God? So Rav Bloch was Amitzus, tells, you know, every yeshiva and every, you know, different part of Klal Yisrael has a different midah that it excels in, tells us about Gvura, Amitzus. Soldiers, and tells you are a soldier. You know, you have to stand tall and tough. So he turns to them, he says, I misunderstood you. You said, your God, like it's mine? It's not mine, it's your God too. And to come a day that the whole world will know that it's not just my God, it's everyone's God, yours included. The Nazis saw such brazen, such chutzpah, got so angry. Because the idea is they want to, you know, I'm the soldier and you're the garbage, the Jew. When he saw the chutzpah, the O Yehudi, O Tzalu, he went crazy from it. The Gvura, yeah? He didn't even shoot him. He got so angry, he took the end of the gun and he just broke his neck with it in front of the whole yeshiva. That's how Rav Bloch was lifted. That's how Rav Bloch was lifted. So Rav Gifter would say, you see what type of person we're talking about with such Gvura, commitment to the truth. Yeah. Now when he says Rav Gifter, you know who the person is? Now let me tell you what he said, and then you'll understand how he could say a thing like this. Meaning this brings out the personality of the person who said, Ru'im advarim l'misha amra. He said over like this. When we talk about Nida, everybody knows there's an expression. Most of the Sfarim on Nida bring it even as a title. Suga Bashoshan. A lot of the titles, they use it. It's based on a medrash. Suga means a fence of flowers, of roses. Shoshana are roses. Chazal say, what is this referring to? You know, Nida is something which nobody knows about. It's private in someone's bedroom. What gives a person the courage to be able to withstand the Sionot in Hilchot Nida? You know, Hilchot Shabbat. People see you, be Mechal Shabbos. That protects us. Person doesn't want to, people should look at him, you know. Kashrut. You see, the guy went into a trefa store, so you see that there's something wrong. But neither, who would ever know the difference? Say, Chazal, there is a tremendous protection system. And that is Suga Bashoishanim. There's an alarm system made from a fence, which is of flowers, beautiful roses. And that Suga, that fence, nobody breaks through. They keep it, and it stays guarded from that fence. As Rav Bloch, I don't understand. If you wanted to guard something, let's say you have a beautiful home, would you guard it with flowers or you would get an alarm system with metal? Who makes an alarm? Who makes a fence to protect intruders with roses? What does it mean? What does Chazal mean? Suga Bashishanim. Answers Rav Bloch Givali, but it's really Pasha Pshat, but it's beautiful. He says like this, you know, a fence, this, as strong as the fence is, there's always physical capability to break through it. There's always, again, it might be so difficult, but But physically, it's possible. There's always a... And that's what intruders do. They learn how to, you know, dig from underneath. What happens when you look at something beautiful and you're astonished by its beauty? You don't want to destroy. The force of withholding you from is much stronger than any physical force. The force of conceptual... what's the word I'm looking at? The conceptual protection is much stronger than a physical one. Poretz gedder, any gedder you could be poretz. But when it comes to seeing something which is gorgeous, it's very difficult, unless you're sick, unless you're completely not normal. What happens is, Klal Yisrael looks at the mitzvah Torah and they compare it to, you know what? To Shoshanim, to beautiful roses. No Jew is going to destroy that, those roses to be over the other. So Enochanami, it's a protection. It's a gate that protects. But Shoshanim, with beautiful, beautiful roses. So said Rav Bloch, and so said Rav Gifter. And I remember the way he would cry when he would say it over. He'd cry, cry. What's the lesson? We have to learn to look at Yiddishkeit, to look at the mitzvot, to look at Hashem, that it's something beautiful. Unfortunately, we live in a harsh world, very harsh. And this harsh world makes us think, you know, everything's nasty and everything's bad and people are bad and evil and the street is evil. But you have to realize, Eitz Chayim Hila Machzikim Ba'Vetochem U'Shar. The Torah is beautiful, beautiful. Dracheha Drachenoa V'chol Nesiva Tera Shalom. And when we appreciate that, then we want, and we wait for the Torah, and we wait for our time to daven and to be with Hashem. If you look at Kol Ose Tfilato, whoever makes his prayer as an oil, as a shibud, I have to go pray. It doesn't work. You have to look forward to that. It's my time with Hashem. I appreciate Hashem, my relationship with you. And if I appreciate my time with you, I appreciate my learning. You'll see the Darkei Noam. It takes a while. It doesn't happen overnight. But work in this direction to see the Darkei Noam. And what's going to happen? You'll be Suga Bashoshan. You'll never want to ruin it. You'll never want to give it up. This is the Limud. The Klal Yisrael is like the Yonah and the Tor. That they protect the Khan. And they don't give up their Ben Zug. No matter what comes. They're Mitabel. Avelut. Take a look how we're Mitabel Virushalayim. Thousands of years. Yeah, forget it. Come on, move on. You know, in English we say, move on. Right? You know, the counselors come and they tell you that you have to have closure. Closure. How come we don't say, you know what, let's have closure. Okay, the Beit HaMikdash, have a nice day, that's all. And the answer is, when something is very, 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 very chashuv, you know of a person that when he himself dies, they tell him, you know what, don't worry about it, have closure. It's not the end of the world.
You're going to die.
You're going to die and have closure, and that's all. Right now, let's work on closure. Yeah, I'm asking, you ever see a guy walk into the hospital, a guy's dying, and tell him, you know, listen, the stakes are in, it's over. Come, let's work on closure now. And the Teretz is because a person is so important to himself, it's not shaykh closure. It's shaykh to teach a guy closure when he dies. When the other guy dies, that closure. And the Teretz is when we lose Hashem and we lose our Beis HaMikdash, it's not the other person, it's us. It's a part of our neshama. A part of ourself dies. Not possible closure. Not possible. See, it's not shaykh. That's the mitabel of Ben Zon. There's no closure. Let us be zoche to see the Darkei Noam. Call the team of we'll see you Wednesday. Right, what time is it?
You start 10:30.
Right, what time is it now?
11:30.
That's it. That's what I have.
Wednesday morning?
Wednesday morning I'm here.
It's a... isn't it?